Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRood. This episode, we're going to take our first look at our big May IMS 5G issue, always the biggest of the year, and this is no exception.
Right.
So we have extensive coverage of the IMS event. We cover all the conferences, special activities, the exhibition, and we have a big extended new products section because this is a time when a lot of companies introduce new products.
Right.
So you'll be able to check all those out in there. The cover feature is written by authors from GSMA Intelligence, and they take a look at innovations providing energy savings and power consumption reduction for 5G networks. They did a very in-depth research report called 5G Energy Efficiencies. The green is the new black, and we carry that theme onto our cover as a 5G issue. And in fact, this cover is augmented reality enabled now.
Yes.
So we're bringing that back. We did it a few years ago, and it was a little bit ahead of its time, I think. So we'll try it again. You just point your camera and frame the cover and you should get a little pop-up and you can experience it right in your browser without having to download the app, which was the way you had to do it in previous versions. Now, some older phones, I still think you have to use the app, unfortunately.
It's a nice animation.
Yeah, you get an animation and all kinds of links that overlay right onto the cover. So it's pretty cool. I hope everybody will try it out.
Yeah.
So what do we have for technical features?
Well, as you know, we have a bunch of them, too many for me to go through all of them, so I'll just highlight a few. We have from Roden Schwartz an interesting article on calibrating a virtual cable, if I put that in quotes, for over-the-air testing of 5G millimeter wave devices. And then Yole Development has an update on the 5G infrastructure market. I found this interesting because they take a little bit of a philosophical approach, contrasting the telecom world with utilities that we think of, like water and electricity, and showing the differences. Then we have an article from Facebook Connectivity, which is interesting. They talk about combining line of sight and non-line of sight backhaul links to extend broadband into areas that are unserved, and particularly those that are geographically challenged. And then lastly, we have from Les Besser a retrospective on the creation of Compact and Super Compact. And as you know, these were the first programs commercially available for RF microwave simulation. And Les kind of tells the story. This was back in the day when all these programs ran on mainframes and the way that he ultimately brought that to market. And it brought back some memories for me because I think I was the first user of Compact at Texas Instruments using it to do a switched filter design for a missile program.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was brought back a lot of memories as I went through the article.
Yeah, and we'll have an accompanying podcast that we'll release also in May.
Yeah.
So we had a special guest join us today, Tom Cole. He's Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Integra Technologies. And he joined us to talk about the high power transistor market and a new product that they're bringing in. So let's take a look at a clip from that now.
So how is Integra addressing these trends in the marketplace?
So for us, I think part of it is the technology that we have developed. So we have a very unique pallet solution that we call our pin and socket pallet approach. This is something that we are able to take a existing design for someone in our semi-custom approach where we tailor it to their specific frequency and power level, but give them a solution that's actually plug and play. No touch labor required to solder on tabs to the pallets to connect them into the larger assembly. They can simply drop in the pallet, bolt it in place, and all of the signal and DC's feeds are addressed through the plug and play pins that we have. And so it's just a registration drop into a socketed fixture or socketed system element. And they're able to immediately connect the pallet and go. So for field replaceability and for other ease of use, it's been a really good solution for them.
So it's great to catch up with Tom again. He's becoming a regular on the show. So we hope to have him on later on to see how that new product is doing. So turning to the news, I wanted to continue on the theme of partnerships, which we did in the last episode. And CASE, which is the Cobham Electronic Systems Group, is now announcing a new partnership with Colorado Engineering. And they'll be working on new communications technologies, data links, missile seekers, all types of technologies. And I can kind of see a strategic trend here. They're picking smaller companies with innovative technologies and bringing them to a wider market. As we had talked about in our last episode, Swiss to 12 is another partner they're working with.
Yeah, I think this was a good match too.
I think that's a great strategy because there's a lot of these innovations that you don't really get to see unless they're scaled up and brought to the mass market.
Right.
And also, NI had quite a few partnerships to announce. They are acquiring MonoDrive and announced a strategic alignment with Ansys. And they'll be working on automotive safety systems and autonomy systems with Ansys. And they also announced a second partnership with NYU Wireless. They're again an industrial affiliate now, and they'll be working on 6G research as they did with 5G.
Yeah, I noticed there it's all about terahertz frequencies now.
It is. So what did you see in the news?
So broadband is an area of interest for me, kind of like 3D printing is for you. So I saw several things there. Comcast has done a lab demo of full duplex using a Broadcom system on chip. And they were able to demonstrate 4 gigabit per second back and forth, both uplink and downlink. And of course, the DOCSIS 4.0 full duplex specification has been released, and that ultimately calls for a 10 gigabit per second down, 6 gigabit per second up. And then there were a couple of announcements related to the space programs. OneWeb has launched another 36 satellites. They're now up to 182 of their 648 constellation, and they expect to be offering some service to the northern latitudes by the end of the year. And then, of course, SpaceX has been in beta for their Starlink system with something like 10,000 users. But they've now opened it up for pre-orders for the actual commercial launch. And they announced this week that they have more than 500,000 pre-orders, people willing to pay $99 a month for broadband. So that's a nice chunk of money there.
Well, it's interesting to see the satellite broadband starting to really take hold. It's been quite a few years we've been talking about it.
Definitely. So that's the news that I saw.
So turning to events, it's only a month away from IMS. So as everybody knows, it's a hybrid event. It'll be taking place in person the week of June 6th in Atlanta. And it'll be somewhat of a scaled back production, but it'll still be very effective. I think it'll be a very intimate event for everybody and to really get to see what's going on, attend all the sessions that you really want to attend. And sometimes there's just too much to do. And you know, just note that the Georgia World Congress Center is really taking good precautions for COVID. Masks are required, there's cleaning stations, the capacity of all conference rooms will be limited, there'll be contactless badge pickup. So a lot of these precautions will be taken, so if you do visit in person, you should feel safe. Also on site, any of the events that were going to be at a different location have all been moved to the Omni Hotel, which is connected to the Georgia World Conference Center. And that way you won't have to take a taxi or get on a busy bus or anything like that, you can just walk over. And again, there'll be social distancing in these events.
Good.
So for the virtual event, it will take place 2 weeks later, starting June 20th. So there'll be a week where everything is broadcast as live in the virtual world, and there'll be the full conference and all the associated activities that go with it. But what's great is then you have a whole month of on-demand use. So you can go in there and you can watch any of the conference sessions that you missed or didn't have time to attend. And then there'll also be a full virtual exhibition, so there'll be virtual booths from everybody. You'll be able to converse either via text or Zoom link for video. And what's good about this is the exhibition, even though they may not be there live, it's open all the time. So you can go and visit these booths and look at the brochures and the new products and videos at any time that's convenient for you around the world. So that's one thing good about a virtual event. It's not limited by time zones or geography in being there in person.
Yeah, I think that'll be very convenient.
And also, I wanted to note, in the exhibition side, not only is there virtual booths, but there'll also be a bunch of presentations. So there'll be the micro apps, there'll be exhibitor workshops, which are long format, and then there'll be exhibitor talks, which are short formats, and that's new this year. So there'll be a lot of information on new products and new capabilities on the exhibition side, in addition to the full conference.
That's a lot, but it seems like the way they've structured it, for once, you might be able to cover most of the things that you want to see.
Yes, it's one time that you can really do that, I think.
Well, a couple things I wanted to mention before we wrap up. We have a lot of webinars, I notice. Seems like several every week, plus the panel sessions that you've been organizing. So I want to encourage our viewers to check those out. You can look at the event section of the Microwave Journal website and see what's scheduled. Also see what's played in the past. And we keep those pre-recorded versions up for roughly 6 months. So it's a great way for people to explore new technologies, look at adjacent markets, see what their customers and maybe competitors are doing, and really stay plugged into the industry. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, if you're not already a subscriber to Microwave Journal, of course, we want to encourage that. I think our publication is a good mix, a Venn diagram, if I can call it that, between the industry, technology, and markets. And it's a good, every issue has informative content in all three of those areas. And it's a good way to keep abreast of what's going on, particularly when we tend to get stovepiped in our own industries. So that's it for this episode. We want to thank our sponsor, Integra Technologies. Welcome them to the program. As you saw in the interview with Tom Cole, they have an extensive lineup of power devices and pallets with high voltage capability and also some unique thermal packaging. So if you're not familiar with Integra, please check them out. Thanks for watching. We'll be back in a couple weeks, our last time before IMS.
Welcome to Frequency Matters, the R from Microwave Update series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. And we have a special guest today, Tom Cole, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Integra Technologies. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Gary. It's good to be back with you guys.
So we talked with you guys before about Integra's unique pallet approach to high power solutions and a little bit about your high voltage GaN transistors. So how has business been affected by COVID? Have you seen an increase or decrease?
We're very thankful. We've actually seen a pretty significant uptick in our business, and that's driven by a lot of factors that we see with just the level of integration going up and what customers are asking us to do, kind of extending from the transistor realm into the pallet realm for certain and providing full kind of turnkey solutions where somebody would have done their own PA design in the past.
So if you look upstream from your products, what trends are you seeing in the markets for high power devices and amplifiers?
So for us, COVID has had a dramatic impact on retirements around the industry. And one of the trends that we're very clearly seeing, and most of the new business that we're actually enjoying right now, is coming from doing integrated pallets, where 3-4 years ago, pre-COVID, people would have taken transistors and done their own PA designs. So that trend is accelerated through COVID with the number of people who have exited the design space. And so that's been a very positive trend for us in terms of providing high power solutions, which is the other piece of this. The other two trends that I would cite are a need for higher power in a single transistor package and broader bands, much wider bandwidths at much higher powers than you can do with conventional 50 volt architectures. So those are two trends that we are squarely seeing that have come right into our sweet spot and that we are executing on right now with our teams.
So how is Integra addressing these trends in the marketplace?
So for us, I think part of it is the technology that we have developed. So we have a very unique pallet solution that we call our pin and socket pallet approach. This is something that we are able to take an existing design for someone in our semi-custom approach where we tailor it to their specific frequency and power level, but give them a solution that's actually plug and play. No touch labor required to solder on tabs to the pallets to connect them into the larger assembly. They can simply drop in the pallet, bolt it in place, and all of the signal and DC's feeds are addressed through the plug and play pins that we have. And so it's just a registration drop into a socketed fixture or socketed system element. And they're able to immediately connect the pallet and go. So for field replaceability, and for other ease of use, it's been a really good solution for them.
Yeah, that sounds like a very elegant solution. So beyond those products, tell us about any other new developments you're working on that you can share.
Yes, we're very excited to take the lid off of the pot here that we've had simmering for quite a long time with respect to our 100 volt and 150 volt RF GaN on SiC. So that is something with this high voltage process that we have developed over the last 6-7 years. We now have the ability to bring this to bear and to really move the power levels of an individual transistor from a kilowatt or a little bit thereover to multi-kilowatt. That is what gets us really excited. This brings to bear a couple of ways that you can use the high voltage technology. The first way being we can do much higher power levels in a single transistor. So we are right now architecting L-band parts and other S-band and subsequent radar parts with multi-kilowatt power levels in a single transistor. And that really wasn't possible at 50 volts, but going to the 100 and 150 volt case, we can do substantially larger powers. And this really dovetails nicely with our thermally enhanced GaN IP. So as we've talked on previous frequency matters and different publications that we've done, the IP that Integra owns and has developed for thermal management of the heat that is generated by these very high power parts allows us to come and also put that to the high voltage technology, which is enabling us to claw back some of that extra temperature that is a result of operating at the higher voltages. So this is really something we look to enable really two areas and really create two new market replacement segments. Number one, traveling wave tube replacement for very high power, multi-kilowatt type of transistors used in pallets up to, you know, the tens of kilowatts, where we can actually put together those elements and replace a large tube. The other side of it is very wide band architectures. So as we know, there's a lot of trends in the DoD right now for drone jamming and for directed energy. And so when you look at how this technology enables broadband jamming at much higher powers than conventional MMIC type of devices, it's very exciting as to what we can do with this. And so we've been under contract since the summer with this, and we are actually now in the rounding third and heading home on the qualification phase. So we're very excited to start to roll that technology out here this year for the benefit of different types of systems and system architects.
Wow, that's very impressive. Thank you, Tom, for talking with us today about what you're seeing in the market and what's going on there at Integra Technologies. Combining the market and some of your new technologies and your new products, sounds like 2021 should be a great year for you and the team there.
We're very excited and we're looking definitely forward to getting out with customers again, among other things here post-COVID, and being able to really show the technology and what it can do. So as always, thank you both. It was a pleasure talking again, and I hope the next one of these we do, we're all sitting in the same room for a change.
That would be great. And we want to thank our viewers for watching and tell you to stay tuned for the next episode of Frequency Matters coming soon.